Okay, that was part one. Should have mentioned that. Part two, intro with Joe Evans. Welcome to part two of my conversation with Joe Evans. Joe is the head softball coach at Texas A&M University. During part two, we talk about the importance of addressing mental health. We talk about her hiring practices, aligning her staff, leadership in the A&M program, and much, much more. Before we dive into my conversation with Joe, I want to introduce you to the Tribe. The Tribe is a group of coaches who desire to grow and get better. We meet every second and fourth Monday for 1 hour. We talk about topics such as winning influence and trust with your athletes, creating an environment where people can be their best, personal growth, and many more topics. For more information or to sign up for the Tribe, go to my website at kingdomcoachingtw.com. Now for my conversation with Joe Evans. So do you, with that in mind, do you do anything as, you know, as incoming freshmen come in or as your team comes in August, do you do anything specifically to try to fast forward that, to speed up that, knowing that there's, they've played a lot, but it's all organized. It's all, you know, they're playing all games. They're probably, in my experience, and I don't know what softball's like, but I have a baseball background. Coaches are probably calling pitches. Coaches are dictating everything now. Do you do anything specifically that, you know, hopefully helps speed up the learning curve?
Yeah, I think our assistant coaches do a great job with that. Karen Dale, our pitching coach. Yeah, because they come in and they don't have to think about how to set up a batter,
yep,
how to call pitches, because somebody's sitting on a bucket putting up a couple of numbers and they're throwing the pitch. So that's what I'm talking about, where years back, catchers called the games, pitchers and catchers worked together. So I'm talking about that knowledge and understanding of the game. I feel like that's where we were missing it. So, but our coaches do a great job. So there's always the breakdown of film. There's, hey, what pitches do you throw well? How do we set up hitters? They're getting all of that that I'm not necessarily sure they're getting at a younger age. And I don't want to knock. There are some great travel ball coaches and organizations and high school coaches that are doing that.
Totally.
I'm just talking collectively.
Yeah.
Could you ask me a general question?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and then the hitting too, like now we have all these analytics, we have video, we have hit tracks, we've got the Rapsodo, we've got Yakker Tech. You've got all these things that give a coach an opportunity to say, hey, listen, here's what really matters.
Yep.
And how are we striking the ball? And so it does break that down instead of just being outcome oriented, you know, and the base running is a big thing. Our kids come in not necessarily being great base runners, because you have to practice that. You have to practice reads. You have to understand your leads and all of that, which if you're not practicing much, you don't get that, or you're not breaking things down and isolating that skill. So that's another thing that we've spent a lot of time on just recently, like this year a lot. Like, let's get better at that. Let's get faster. Let's get better reads. So really, we're lucky because we have them every day. 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And we have time to break those things down. We have them individually, right? When they come in, we have hours to break things down for them that, you know, before they don't get.
Totally. Mental health is a consistent topic, you know, in the world really, but especially in athletics. What are you guys doing anything? What are the resources at AM? What's that side of things look like for you as a leader when it comes to the mental health? And yeah.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's really important to me.
Yeah.
And I can see the challenges that our kids are faced with now that they weren't years ago. And everyone talks about social media, and that's a big part of it. That's a challenge for them. We have, fortunately, 4 full-time sports psychologists on our staff in athletics.
Yeah.
But I even hesitate to say sports psychologists, you know, because mostly they're not talking about sport.
No doubt.
They're just trying to process life. and what it feels like for them and how to manage anxiety. I don't know where it all stems from, but the anxiety level of our women and student athletes is so high. Yeah. And it's not just the women, it's the men too. The football players are seeking guidance and counsel just like the softball players are. So the guys are not immune to it. We're all in the same boat. And so we spend every 2 weeks, we have our sports psychologists come in and we talk about mostly how do we communicate with each other? Mm. How do we hold each other accountable? How do we hold ourselves accountable? How do we manage our anxiety and our stress? How can we lean on each other? All things that are really important. So these young women don't feel isolated and alone. And so we spend a lot of time doing that. And again, it's not necessarily, breathing before I step in the box. I mean, right. It's literally, how do I manage everything that's being thrown at me?
Yeah. So with that being said, how have you, other than obviously creating space for the sports psychologist to come down and visit with you, how have you actually adjusted? How have you changed to help okay, there's anxiety that's through the roof right now. There's challenges that you never had. I never had. There's challenges. There's anxiety. Is there any other thing that you're doing? Again, aside from like creating space for those meetings to happen, is there anything you're doing that with that in mind of like, no, they're just going through a lot. Like, yeah, I'd be curious.
I think it's just more the way I talk to them. I shouldn't be now there are times at practice where heck yeah, I'm on them. Your effort's not great. Your energy's not good. I'm coaching. You have to coach.
Right.
But in general, I'm mindful of the way I talk to them. I'm mindful of listening to them. I'm mindful of their body language and trying to read, hey, what's going on here? Are they okay? I think that's something as coaches we're responsible for. And if we are the stewards of our program and these young athletes, we need to be in tune.
Yeah.
We can't be dismissive about what's going on. So I do think it's important to talk about it. And for us to, the best times for me are when I'm in the dugout before practice or after practice, and we just start chatting up about whatever. I mean, that's the best, because then you really start to get a feel for them. And, I think our assistant coaches do a great job with that.
Yeah.
And sometimes as a head coach, you don't get those opportunities that the assistant coaches get. If you're in the cages every day with those players, you get an opportunity to just dialogue and do that one-on-one. Same in the bullpen. With the head coach, you more so got everybody like, all right, let's go, let's run with it. But I do think how we talk to them and acknowledge them makes a difference.
So good. That's really, really good. Okay, let's stay on that thread with staff. So you're 26 year. I'm guessing you've hired your fair share of assistant coaches. When it's time to hire an assistant coach, maybe walk us through your process. What are you looking for? Obviously there's, the hitting side or the pitching side. What are you looking for? Kind of how do you what's that process look like for you to hire? I think hiring is one of the hardest things to do, and I don't care if it's in sports or in the corporate world. So I'd be curious on just some insight into your process.
Yeah. I mean, it's changed. So I've been head coaching for 36 years. So for my first 10 years of coaching, I never had a full-time assistant. Right. I mean, it's changed a lot. So, I've made some great hires, and I've made some hires that weren't a great fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have tried. And when it's not a great fit, there's nothing more challenging than having a member of your staff that you're not on the same page with.
Yep.
So for me, those times of insubordination, lack of loyalty, you're out there trying to do your job. And if you feel you have someone working against you behind the scenes, that's really, really challenging.
Yeah.
Everyone I've had, you know, knew what they were doing on the field or really had the expertise. So mostly I've had great people to work with just an exception or so. What I'm looking for is it, and now times have changed so much. You know, I had a staff where we always had someone doing pitching, but you know, defense, hitting, that was something we all could be involved in. And then it got to a point where it's like, no, it's way more specialized than that. But loyalty is everything to me, just like every coach. If you ask any coach, they're going to say loyalty is going to be at the top of their list likely.
Yeah.
But that expertise now in hitting and pitching and defense, those things are all, that's what makes up staffs now. So I'm very specific. And if I'm getting a hitting coach, what does this coach believe in? How do they teach mechanics, but also how do they manage hitters? Do they have a plan for our hitters in game? Can they break down film? Can they evaluate? Do they have good relationships with players? And then also, what is their pedigree? What is their path? What systems have they been in that have proven to be successful? So you look at our hitting coach right now, Craig Snyder, in great systems, you know, was at Florida State for a long time, cut his teeth at OU, you know, that systems that you go, you know what, I can see success. And if he comes from that philosophy and strategy and has his own identity, that works for me.
Yeah.
Still, you know, when I'm hiring a pitching coach, I don't think the pitching coach has to have been an All-American playing in the pitching in the College World Series. I don't think that's what makes a great coach. So with Kara Dill, it was like high intelligence, pitched younger, so she understands pitching, went through all the lessons, did that stuff. But what systems was she in? Rachel Lawson, a great pitching coach, and by the way, wasn't a pitcher in college. Does a great job with her pitching staff, calling games, preparing them. Beth Tarina, known to be a great pitching coach, great with the bullpen and getting her kids ready mechanically and all those things. So for when I'm looking at that, I'm looking at what are those systems you've been in and do I value those systems? Do I respect those systems and what they've produced? And so that now is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. It's good. So I looked at you know, your staff, and to your point, not only do you now have two assistants, you also have like a director of ops, a director of player development. You might, you know, the staffs obviously are increasing. What are some things that you have had to do to just make sure that your staff, from you throughout the whole staff, are in alignment? And I don't mean necessarily like loyalty alignment. I think that's a huge thing, obviously. I mean more alignment on, hey, here's where we're going maybe today or this week or this fall. This is what our keys are. Like just creating alignment, because the more people you add, the more complex it gets, the more there can be miscommunication. What's that look like for you to make sure everybody's in alignment?
Yeah, it's, you know, we also have a volunteer assistant who's been a head coach at Division I school, you know, has a great history of coaching and also played for me. So Adrian Gregory, I mean, are you kidding me? We have a head coach as our volunteer and what she brings to our staff. So what's been really cool with that, and you're talking about how do we all get in alignment, you know, our director of ops was my assistant coach for 26 years, 24 years, something. So she understands me, understands what's important, and also keeps me in check. You know, we've got a new director of player and program development.
Yep.
And that Pete, he's been a director of ops. He's been in these programs. So they all bring this wealth of experience and knowledge and understanding. And so for me, I'm stupid if I don't listen to what they bring. Yep. So what's really important is everybody gets a voice. Everybody gets to give input. Everybody gets to say, hey, we did this here and this really worked. What do you think about it? If I kept doing the same thing I've done for 36 years, we'd be terrible and I wouldn't have a job. Yeah. So these people, you know, we sit in the room and say, okay, what do you think about this? I'd like to do that. What have you got? Mm. And I really want feedback. And I don't want people to just be yes people. That is not helpful to us. So I want people who are willing to step up and say, I think we should do this. And here's why. And at times I'll be, that's great, let's do it. And other times, like, I hear you, but we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And that's my job. I have to make decisions as to what we're doing and not. But if you're threatened by information or challenges that, hey, this isn't working right, and that's something you've always done, but you've got somebody telling you, I think there's a better way, you're going to be stifled. Your program's going to suffer. So I think that's something I've been willing to do, is to surround myself with young, energetic, knowledgeable people, and then take feedback and then run with it.
Yeah. So one of my questions I was going to ask, and I think you probably answered it, is what has allowed you to stick around so long? I mean, 26 years now is like 50 back, and it's just a long time to be at one spot, one spot, especially in an SEC. But I felt like you probably answered that. You have great assistants. You've been open. You've been willing to change and adapt and evolve. Is that fair?
Absolutely, absolutely, and also great administrations.
Yeah,
who've been supportive, who understand the ebb and flow of the game and the sport and appreciate what I bring to the table. You could easily get one administrator who doesn't feel like that, and your job's gone.
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate.
I don't know the exact numbers, but I know just enough to know that you've probably had, I just know, 3 ADs in the last, 10 years maybe. So I mean, some of it is a flip of the coin. You know, some of it is like, man, I hope we get somebody that understands. And you've been obviously fortunate enough, at least from what I know over the last 10 years, to have some ADs that probably have a great feel for what are the ebbs and flows of seasons and recruiting classes and upperclassmen. And okay, we're young this year, so we're going to take some lumps. You know, man, to your point, it's really helpful when ADs have a feel for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just never know. I feel like every time I get a new AD, I've got to sell them on, I'm your coach.
Yep.
You know, if you had an opportunity to hire, you would hire me. Mm. And sometimes, you know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
It's challenging.
Okay. I want to get in the weeds on your staff just for a second here. Do you guys meet weekly? Do you have one-on-ones consistently with your staff? What does that, like you mentioned about getting input, and which I love, all that's great. Maybe flesh out specifically, what does your rhythms look like as far as leading your staff, as far as meetings and how much and how often, and what does interaction look like? Yeah.
So I'm not a big meetings person. So I know some coaches have a system. We're going to meet once a week at X time, or we're going to do every day at X time. I don't really operate like that. I give my people full autonomy and then make sure that I'm checking in and understanding what's going on and getting feedback. We do meet, and those sessions are great, because that's where you figure out what the right hand and the left hand are doing. But in terms of really, I'm not type A at all. So we're not flying by the seat of our pants by any means, but it's a more, we all are up in the office together. So we're all in the same hallway. And, we meet and just break down, okay, what are we doing with recruiting? What are we doing with practice? how are our hitters doing? How are our pitchers doing? How's our defense? So, we spend we interact with each other. We socially enjoy each other. So sometimes the best conversations are the ones, over a dinner somewhere.
Yeah.
Just hanging out in the clubhouse after practice.
So I love that, by the way. And this one of the reasons why I love to dive into coaches, like on some specifics like that, whether it be staff management or your specific wirings and giftings, because I think if I had this experience, I coached college baseball, and you'll hear Coach A, who's had a ton of success, and they say that detailed is the way to go, and we meet on Mondays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then if there's somebody sitting out there in the crowd listening to this, and they're thinking, oh wow, that's I'm not wired that way, I guess I'll never have success. So anyways, I love to hear the spectrum of some people are just super, to your point, type A. The hot name now is Nick Saban. It's just like every minute of his life seems like it's mapped out. Others are on this other end. I interviewed a guy named Jeff Walls, who's the women's basketball coach at Louisville. And he talks about not even doing a practice schedule. And so I think I love to hear what you shared, because there's somebody out there that's like, okay, I'm not type A, but it seems like that's the people that are elevated. And then they hear, oh, ooh, okay, I can be success, because Joe Evans isn't like this. We've got to meet here, and this is the, anyways, that's why I ask and poke around. I think it's really helpful for people to hear different ways of doing things.
Yeah, and it's funny because I always kind of feel self-conscious when somebody asks me that question, because I know like a Nick Saban, I know that personality, and, it works for them. And so it is, everybody does it differently. And I just don't want people to like feel like they need to be apologetic.
Totally.
When what works for your personality and your people works for your personality and people.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I love that. Kenny Gajewski at Oklahoma State, very similar, very not like detailed and regimented, and it works for him, and that's who he is. And it would be inauthentic if he tried to model himself after somebody super type A and organized.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there are people who are really relationship oriented, and they probably tend to be a little less like that. Not that you can generalize, but.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Want to dive into some leadership development in your program with your athletes. What's it look like? Do you guys do captains? Do you do a leadership council? What's that sort of the leadership development look like in your program?
Yeah, we used to, for years, I did captains and the team would vote, and I'd find myself going in on voting day like, okay, now remember, make sure this person is X, Y, and Z, because I'm like scared to death of who they're going to pick. And so we got some captains like they just weren't very good. It wasn't really their wheelhouse. And then I didn't want to be held hostage by captains who really weren't on the same page as our program. So we started doing just a leadership council.
Yeah.
So, all right, freshman class, sophomore, junior, senior, pick the person you want to represent your class. And that's worked out pretty well. I feel good about that. And I tell them, your job is to come to me with any concerns, any things that you feel like are like happening in the locker room that we can do differently. Let's have these conversations. And I want them to feel empowered that they could say, hey, coach, we like in the last one, our kids said, a lot of kids in my class, they just would like it if you posted what we were going to do that day. Mm-hmm. I've never been that person. Like, let's X, Y, and Z. We're doing all these things at this X time, and this is how it's going to go. And my college coach was like that to the nth degree.
Yeah.
I remember we're working double plays and like, oh, we got to go. Time's up. We're on the next thing. And I'm like, no, wait, I really want to get this right.
Yep.
And we wouldn't take one more rep. So that kind of shaped me a little bit, you know, so I don't do it like that. Well, Adrian, Gregory and I, Coach G and I we run the defense and we'll be out there and we have these things planned and we're on this thing. We're like, okay, forget these other things.
Yeah.
We got to do this. So our kids, you know, a couple of them in the leadership council said, hey, we'd like it if you kind of give us, what are we doing that day? So I have to figure out how to do that that works within what I'm comfortable with and also giving them that opportunity to see that. So it just those kinds of things with that leadership council, I think, can be really helpful. We, again, when our sports psych person comes in, we do talk about leadership. We talk about, you know, how do we utilize that leadership? What does this look like? And for me, when I talk to our captains or leadership council, one thing I really stress is like trust is everything. So if you trust me and I trust you, we can actually have conversations that can make a difference. Mm. Or we can come in and you can tell me exactly what I want to hear and we can leave. But that's not helpful. And another thing with leadership that I feel is my responsibility is I want those kids to be able to come in and say, okay, we're having a big challenge relative to X. We don't know how to deal with it, coach. We feel like it's getting out of control. So my job is to help them figure out how to approach that situation, not necessarily for me to go in and fix it
right,
or take it over. So I've got to help give them the tools, how I would say, I would talk to them like this. These are the things that are actually important. You guys are missing the mark here. Focus on this. And really trying to model how I would, and I'll even say, this is exactly what I would say.
Yeah.
This is how I would do this. Now, if they trust me, they will be willing to go in and take that approach. And I can also then, being aware and having some insight and background to what's going on, I can then do things in practice or in a pregame, postgame, pre-practice, post-practice talk to guide us in a direction that we need to go in. And I will never throw anybody under the bus.
Yeah.
I will never say to our team, hey, I had a conversation with somebody and here. So then they're left to think, who was the somebody? Who can't we trust? None of that. I never do that. And so a big part of this leadership thing is using my abilities as a leader to teach them and model for them and let them run with it.
Yeah, I love that. It's so good. And how often do you meet with the council? Is it weekly? Is it monthly? Is it just randomly when you feel the need?
We go every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we set it up. We do it after practice every 2 weeks. And it's interesting when things are rolling, like this fall's been a great fall for us. We only have 18 players. Last year we had 25, you know, a totally different dynamic. Our leadership council meetings are pretty quick and easy.
Yeah.
But other times we're in there for, you know, an hour. So it just kind of depends on sort of where the program is and where our players are at that point in time.
It's really good. Really good. Okay. I end with three questions. The first one I always ask is, what are you currently reading or maybe you're listening to, whether Audible or a podcast? What are you currently reading or listening to that's helping you grow?
Actually, my friend just gave me the book, The Prophet. And it's just essays, just about any topic, giving, love. So I just, this morning I read the essay about giving and what that looks like and what it should be and what it shouldn't be.
So
I appreciated that.
Yeah, I love that. Who wrote that? Do you know? Is it all different?
No, I don't have it off the top of my head.
No worries.
But
yeah, that sounds intriguing.
I just got that last night. It's older. It was like, I think he published it in the 80s.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay, second question I always ask, what advice would you give a young person just starting in their coaching career?
Wow.
And we'll make it more specific, a young female just getting started in her career.
Get a mentor. Make sure you've got somebody who you trust, who has experience, and get them in your back pocket. Be loyal to your boss, even if your boss is a crazy person. And if you have that mentor, if you have that person that you can go to and say, my boss is crazy, this is, it's nonsense, but do it there.
Yeah.
And then get the advice or guidance and then go back and do your best.
Yeah.
If you are a young coach, you are not, please don't make a friendship with the players your priority. It can't be. They have to respect you. And any coach who's been doing this a long time understands, yeah, it's more fun when your players like you, but that's not the most important thing. Respect is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Care about being respected. And how do you gain respect and keep respect? Be consistent. Be consistent. Do what you say you're going to do. Model for them what you want out of them. So for young coaches, just it's so hard because you know that you would do 1,000 things differently, but it's not your program.
Yep.
You're not at the helm. So this person's giving you an opportunity. Listen and learn. Mm-hmm. And you will have to vent, but pick a person that you trust who will keep that in confidence. Because it is okay, I think, to go and say, coach is a knucklehead when she does this.
Right.
Get it off your chest. Say what you need to say. But what I don't respect is coaches who go and bring other people into it. Coaches who don't, like respect the other coaches.
Yeah.
Say if I badmouth my assistant coaches in front of my players, shame on me. That should never happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying just a young coach, like any coach. You don't agree with a coach on your staff, you go have that conversation behind closed doors. And then when you walk out that door, be a united front, even if you don't agree. But if young coaches, I didn't do this as a young coach because I was too shy, too kind of embarrassed. But get a mentor. Get somebody that you can reach out to and ask questions. I think I was worried I was going to look like I was dumb and didn't know anything.
Sure.
But if you can find that person, do it.
Yeah. It's really good. Really good. Let me ask you this. And this is a little bit of a sidebar. This isn't part of my last three questions, but it got me thinking. Let's say over the last 5 to 7 years, who have you learned from the most in the game of softball? Maybe it's not even like talking to them. Maybe you've just watched them from afar and listened to a podcast they were on. Is there anybody in the game that you've like, man, I've just been really learning from this person?
Well, first of all, we started in the Big 12 here when I was at A&M, and then we joined the SEC. And so when you're talking 5-7 years, that's me in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned a ton from every single coach in the SEC. There's nothing like being thrown in the deep end of the pool and figuring it out. So every week when we play those teams, I learn more about how to be competitive, how I might run a play differently. So I've just learned a ton from my competitors. Just what are they doing? What are they doing in recruiting? How is it they got that kid over us?
Yeah.
What can we do differently? So I don't have a person that I contact and say, hey, what about X? Although Rachel Lawson's been really great. I could call her and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or give me feedback on this situation. And Karen Weekly's been good like that. But for the most part, I am more so learning from watching these competitors and trying to beat them.
Love that. It's so good. Okay, and last question I always ask, who would you like to hear share their background story from high school to present day, to, you know, maybe share their wiring, share, you know, how they do their hiring or align their staff or do leadership in their program? Who would you like to hear from all those things, leadership?
This one's tough because I think it's not in softball, but Tara Vandeveer from Stanford, I just think about how long she's been coaching and has certainly gone through ebbs and flows, and Stanford like has stood behind her. She stood behind Stanford. My guess is she could have gone anywhere. Yeah. I just think of her sustained success. So those are the people I look at, you know, the sustained success and how is it you've managed to keep yourself together and to keep the people around you together. So anybody like that, I am interested in. And certainly I would want it to be a woman just because of, you know, I'm a woman. I know that there are challenges that we face just based on our gender.
Yep.
And how do you manage those things?
That's really good. I don't know. I need to go back and look at this. I've done, I don't even know, honestly, maybe 100 and maybe 150. And I think the most, I think Tara Vandeveer might be the, of anyone, I think she's been thrown out there like four or five times. So I need to like probably let her get done with her season and then like go track her down, because I honestly, I think you might be the fourth or fifth person that has mentioned her. So,
wow,
it's really good. Joe, thank you so much. Good stuff. Really great insight. As I mentioned earlier, Kristen Coyos spoke really highly about you. So honestly, awesome stuff. I can see why you've had success. And thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Yeah. Take care.
Thank you.